Hello, if you've just joined us, you're watching Stockwatch. My name is Nastasia Aronsa. Taking your questions this evening is David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Wayne McCurry, who is from F&B Wealth and Investments. Don't forget to send through your questions through to us via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start off with you, Wayne, your assessment of today's market performance before we get into the questions.
Well, look, there seems to be a bit of a respite overseas. The markets are up, which seems an unusual thing to say, and certainly the tech shares are up quite strongly last time I looked, and I think that sort of rubbed off on our market. You know, Nasdaq was up nicely. So it was up across the board almost. But obviously the big driver has been Naspers, both up and down over the last while. And today it was up, as I said, and the market was, quite frankly, relatively subdued. And I thought the financial shares would do better because the Rand sitting at 1380 odd. I would have thought the stronger Rand would have boosted those shares a little bit, but maybe we're all waiting for the Reserve Bank interest rate decision coming out tomorrow sometime. And there's a lot to the markets very divided as to whether rates are going to be on hold or go up.
David?
Just taking what Wayne's saying, you know, you look at the Rand, that's dollar. And why, first of all, why markets are turning around in the US as well is that the dollar's come under pressure. And there's a strong view now that the Fed will actually scale back on interest rate hikes, or certainly within reason. I don't think there's any need for them to be aggressive. There were some numbers out today which showed that capital spending is easing back. There was also issues on consumer spending slowing down as well, and also on housing. So analysts are starting to believe that this is not going to be as aggressive. And once you see that the dollar is not going to go up, well, so the dollar comes down. Oh, sorry, rates are not going to come up. The dollar comes down, and that helps the Rand. But I think there is also a consensus. I don't know what Wayne thinks of it, in that you know, rates, there's a 50% chance that they'll push up rates, which I can't see in this economy. You know, I don't see the need in an economy. And I go through company results. Yeah. You know, if you look at a lot of the company results, there's still a lot of worries about consumption and the health of the consumer. Why would you want to put up interest rates, you know, and kill this economy even further?
You know, when you look overseas, you must understand what's happening now is a normalization from an abnormal situation that was around for 10 years. Interest rates were just unsustainably low for 10 years, and you're seeing a normalization. And whatever equity market weakness you see in this process, understand that it's actually returning to normal. It's not becoming excessively bad for equity. So I don't think we should expect a major equity market collapse. And maybe we're over the bulk of this, who knows? Mm. But in South Africa, when you look at domestic circumstances, as David said, there is no justification for an interest rate increase at all.
Right.
However, there are bigger forces at play here. We're a capital-hungry country. I know it's incorrect, but it's a good analogy. One rand in every 10 that you spend every year in South Africa comes from overseas every year. That's the amount of capital we need from overseas to keep our country running. Now, to attract that capital, you've got to offer a good interest rate. And it's easy when overseas interest rates are 1%. But when they're 3%, you've got to increase yours. You've got to maintain this gap to attract capital. So it's terrible for the SA economy, but interest rates have to go up in South Africa because we need that capital. Now, whether they come tomorrow, I don't know, but they're coming. So it's just a question of when. It's not a question of if.
All right. Let's kick off with our first question from Mark. It says, transaction capital, buy, hold, or sell. Please help.
Look, this is truly interesting business. Mm-hmm. I've been to many of their company presentations, and these are highly competent people running the company. They do two things. Number one, they are taxis or us. If you run a taxi, you go to them, they give you everything. The taxi, the spare parts, the panel beating, the finance to buy it, the insurance, the tracking system, the whole, it's a one-stop shop for taxis. And that's why the Taxi Association, I think, has bought 25% of the company. And then the other part of the business is actually a spin-off from giving finance to this taxi side. They reckon they've got such sophisticated systems and so much data that they can do debt collection and debt vetting for you, because this is their game. Yeah. I mean, their game essentially is, their big game is giving finance. All the other taxi things are add-ons. Mm. They give finance to the taxi market. Now, so it's a fantastic company run by highly competent individuals with world-class systems in a terrible industry. Mm. It's relatively recession-proof, eh, because taxis will always be used.
Yeah.
But this is a tough industry to work in. So to give an answer, I would actually say yes, buy. Mm. But don't put all your money in it, you know, because this is a difficult industry. I mean, you just got to get taxi wars and violence breaking out and strikes breaking out, and all of a sudden, half you guys default.
I think, Wayne, the fact that the taxi bosses are invested in this business
helps.
I think helps, and also along that supply chain, they're making money. So they lend you the money, they make money. They fix the taxis up, they make money. They insure you, they make money. So I think a lot of avenues, and the results are good.
Yeah.
The results are very good.
All right. Next question says, is ShopRite and Massmart good buys for gains in the medium term? This one's from Jan. Wayne?
I think ShopRite unquestionably. Massmart, I just don't know, because they've struggled with this business. They've tried everything. They've tried repositioning game. Look, the building side seems okay. Mm-hmm. But the fresh food side seems to be battling. They've just battled, quite frankly. They've come with plenty of new ideas and new things. Look, I think in the medium term, it probably is cheap enough, to be honest. Mm. But ShopRite, we know it works. So whatever's happening to the ShopRite share price now is because of what's happening to South Africa, not to ShopRite. Whereas Massmart, a lot of what's happening to the Massmart share price is Massmart and then South Africa.
Yeah. David?
Look, I've got no strong views on retail. I think it's still a very tough industry. Both of them are at the bottom end of the market that will benefit from whatever spending does take place. Mm. My vote still goes to ShopRite. I think it's a better run business. But I'm a bit cautious for the very reasons that you know, Wayne has spoken about Massmart. Just have it. Remember, they were taken out by, or Walmart came in, and we thought that their whole business policies would change and that they would represent Walmart. Yeah, we haven't seen any of those benefits coming through yet. Mm. It's been a battle, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. What about then the other retailers? I saw some sort of leadership changes when it comes to the Fushini Group and Mr. Price just recently. I think they've got a new CFO, CEO, somewhere along those lines. Do you share the same sentiments when
Fushini's,
it comes
to... Fushini's results were very impressive. Mm.
Okay.
And it seems to be that they're taking market share from everyone. You have to understand, in this environment where you've got an economy that's hardly growing, you know, that's growing in decimal points, the only way you can do well is at the expense of someone else. And I think you've got to get your buying right, which we haven't seen from something like Woolworths, if you go through Woolworths. So you've got to get the right product at the right price. And I think Fushini seems to have done pretty well doing that. But I think on the price side, I think most of our retailers are still in reasonably expensive territory.
Right.
Yeah, look, when you buy the retailers, you've got to buy the shares cheaply. Now, you saw the ShopRite share price. It's come under severe pressure, and maybe now is the time to buy. But, you know, when you buy these shares is when things are just flying and you pay 25 PEs for it, then you regret that decision for many, many years. Look, I think over time you can probably pay for the good ones. You can pay a 15, 18 price earnings ratio is probably reasonable for them. Woolies, they're battling.
Yeah.
They're just battling. The latest update they gave us, David Jones looks a bit better, but SA non-food is terrible. And that's been terrible now for a while.
Very interesting. David, here's a question you might be able to answer. This one says, why are banks suddenly so weak after their good run lately?
I think it comes back to the same view.
Mm.
You're in a very difficult economy. You don't want to lend money to people who are not going to be able to pay you back because the economy is not functioning, or that they're not increasing the earning power, or businesses are not doing well. So I think that becomes an issue. So where's growth going to come for banks? It can only come from outside. It can only come from expanding into Africa, which is coming off a low base, where you hope consumption increases, where you hope the economies grow. So I think locally it's tough. But banks are well run here. That's one point. So they always seem to make money, or when I say make money, they always seem to do reasonably well. But I don't think you can expect knockout profits to come from banks. I say that as a broad, as a broad category. Capitec doing well, rather because it's coming off a very low base. But I think overall they safe havens. If you want to put your money literally in a bank, I think you can buy them. But understand it's also a reflection of what's happening to our market and also to the economy.
But when you look at the banks, one thing you know about them is they're reasonably priced at these levels. So now reasonably priced is obviously a good thing, but when the shares go up, you need to get economic growth for that to happen.
Right.
And I mean, you can paint a negative picture, you can paint a positive picture. I mean, if Donald Trump and trade wars don't happen, if we sort out this land compensation story and the ANC wins a big election victory next year, you get those three things to fall in place, and our economy can grow strongly over the next 3 years. Then the banks will fly.
All right.
But if that doesn't happen, then they'll just sit. They'll just sit.
But I'd rather have banks than I would retailers.
You're probably right, yeah.
All right, so when
just the valuations are
From
different.
A valuation point of view,
valuations are
and if the
different.
Retailers are doing well, banks are going to do well.
Yeah.
Standard Bank has been a favorite, I think, over the past few weeks of the market watches we've had in our studio. I mean, when it comes to stock picks, they go with Standard Bank. Do you agree with that sentiment, or is it a thing where, well, you know, NetBank might look great, First Rand, I don't know, Wayne, you
I don't think there's much difference between NetBank, Standard Bank, and First Rand.
Yeah.
I mean, NetBank seem to be coming right with the Eco Bank that looks a bit better. They've also got maybe the overhang of shares coming out of Old Mutual. So between the three of them, I don't think as much. APSA, you've got to take a little bit of a leap of faith.
Yeah.
Because on the face of it, APSA looks the cheapest of the whole lot, but there are good reasons why.
All right. Quick one. This one could be a favorite of yours, David. BAT. So the question is, can I still short it at this price, or is it too late?
It's such a difficult...
Shorting.
It's a difficult question to answer.
Yeah.
You know, the share has fallen 20%. The one thing is that the market is discounting that no one's going to smoke anymore. You know, those who smoke menthol are not going to smoke anymore. In other words, menthol is a big earner for BAT in America. I think it's Newport is their brand. I'm not quite sure. But and it has a very large market. So I think what's worrying, the way that the share price is responding, is as though everyone who smoked menthol is just going to give up smoking. That doesn't happen. Either they switch to vaping or they switch somewhere else. So they won't be lost to the market. Also, to implement the regulations, I think it's going to take a long time. So I think the market has overreacted. But just one thing, you know, that I do want to say is that smoking per se is a dying industry.
Yes.
And that's... It's going
it's
to face, yeah, it's in decline, and you must understand that it's an industry that's going to continually face these kind of regulatory issues.
Look,
Wayne, we're going to take a quick ad break, but we're going to come back to your comment when it comes to BAT. Let's take that break, but remember, keep sending through your questions to 41392 or email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. Welcome back. Let's take a quick look at the markets before we get to your questions. Starting off with the U.S. markets, green across the board, the major tech shares rebounded from some of the steep losses we saw earlier this week. And looking at the European markets, green across the board as well, markets clawing back from where they were, also seeing some steep losses there. Still with me in studios, David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investment. You may remember that before the ad break, we were talking about British American Tobacco when you were giving us your view.
Very, very simple. Tobacco volumes are going down, but this is it's quite frankly a slow death, to coin a pun.
Yeah.
You know, it's a slow death. They don't just disappear next year. And you're buying it at a 7% dividend yield and an 8 price earnings ratio. Now, an 8 price earnings ratio takes a lot of bad news into account, a lot. And these guys generate big cash. So, I wouldn't short it at this price.
You know what? I know we're going off here, but I have to ask, you know what? For me, one of the big themes next year is going to be cannabis. Now, I'm a non-smoker.
It started in Canada.
It's the new Bitcoin. And with the Democrats now in charge of the House, there's a good chance that America will legalize recreational in a lot of states, etc. So it's going to spark off
a huge
demand. Yeah. But I'm trying to tie it up with the, you know, with all the regulations against smoking, against the tobacco companies. Do the tobacco companies go this way? Do the beverage companies go this way? I'm very interested in how this is all going to evolve and you know, where this is heading. But believe me, it's going to be a very, very big story. It'll probably
be a big bubble and a big burst.
A big headache.
But it's wonderful in the upside. It's just too wonderful, and it can last a very, very long time. But no, we are going to hear that. It's going to literally be the new Bitcoin. So there's a good test.
Yeah.
Is that when you go to your hairdresser or you go to the school car park and everyone starts talking about cannabis shares in the school car park or your hairdresser, you know the bubble's near the top.
You've been warned by Wayne McCurry. The next question says, MMI, after a great turnaround by Momentum on paying out a policy, I want to buy MMI shares. Your view?
You've got to ask the expert.
Okay. Look, the negative publicity and the positive publicity, next week it'll all be over because there'll be something else. So this doesn't fundamentally affect the share at all. Okay. You know, and you can argue forever, did they do the wrong thing, the right thing, too late, and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. The problem with MMI and every other life company, with the exception of Discovery, is that the share market hasn't gone up for 5 years. You haven't had good returns for 5 years in South Africa. The South African economy hasn't done well for 5 years. The job situation hasn't improved much over 5 years. And these companies simply can't shoot the lights out under that environment.
Right.
Essentially, they are all proxies of the equity market. If next year the equity market goes up 30%, these companies will fly. You are buying this MMI, Liberty, Old Mutual and Sanlam at actually quite reasonable price levels at these levels. But if the economy doesn't turn around and or the share market turn around, you'll sit in 2 years' time with MMI shares at the same price. So it's just, it's literally a question. Your answer is dependent on what you think the SA economy stroke the share market's going to do. MMI's no different. It's under new management. There's a lot of, I suppose you can call it, easy money to be made. Yeah. But structurally, these companies are in a very difficult spot.
You saw it in Coronation's results.
Yeah.
Exactly,
you know,
the same.
Coronation was one of these stocks everybody wanted, you know. But I think over the last couple of years, the share price is down 30, 40, 50%.
Yeah, because the market hasn't moved.
The market hasn't moved. They can't charge performance fees.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing well. They still have a huge amount of assets under
But the market goes up 30%.
Yeah, well, look at, yeah. The market goes up. This was a darling.
Yeah, the market goes up 30%. Their fees go up 30% without them doing a single thing else. And the profits shoot the lights out, same as the life companies.
Next question says, Buffett is piling into U.S. banks. Which is the best U.S. bank stock to buy now, including Goldman Sachs?
David? Buffett was a big Wells Fargo fan. You know, for years, he used to, in his private capacity, he bought J.P. Morgan. For Berkshire Hathaway, he bought Wells Fargo. He's starting to ease out of Wells Fargo because they've had a huge amount of troubles and issues. And every day you wake up to another issue with poor old Wells Fargo. And he switched, I think, to J.P. Morgan. The one that you must watch is Morgan Stanley. I think it came from behind. But I like John Gorman, the CEO. Very, very impressive man. So, but all of them, J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley, Goldman's more an investment bank.
Yeah,
And a trading bank and that. So I think with Morgan and J.P. Morgan, you get a much more balanced exposure to the U.S. banking market.
Wayne, you've used some U.S.
banks? No, David knows more about that.
All right, so next question says, could the panel give their views on platinum stocks, please?
Okay.
Sure.
Wayne's facial expression is...
It's quite simple.
Yeah.
The current platinum price is below the cost of production. Except for Amplat. Amplat is making money, but generally speaking, no one's making money. Okay? That can't be sustained. The world needs platinum. There's no technological change that's happened yet that's going to negate the need for platinum. You know, you can argue electric vehicles longer term and all of these, you won't need the catalysts. But that's, believe me, that's long term. It doesn't happen next year. And there's many, many other technological advances that may happen that will need platinum.
Yeah.
Okay. So, something's got to give. Either 20% or 30% of global mining production just goes bankrupt and closes down, and Lonmin's been at that door forever. But you know, there's a big Impala lease area that's also making losses. They're going to retrench, they're going to close down, yeah. Or the price must go up. So in other words, the current set of circumstances are unsustainable. But it was the same 5 years ago.
I was going to say that.
That's the problem, is that yeah. You don't know. Will it be resolved next year? Or in 5 years' time.
Is that the platinum price? Yeah. You know, platinum price at 847.
You know, no one's
bubbling along here for a long time.
And I mean, the only reason why Amplat is making money is they've already shut all their high cost production.
Mm.
You know, so you can make up your own mind. If this unsustainable thing resolves tomorrow, these shares can go up five times.
It's interesting to look at Amplat. If you bring up a chart on Amplat, it's been the best performing share on the JSE. I'm talking the heavy caps, you know, not some of the smaller caps, and that by a long way this year. It has outshone anything else that. And you have to give credit to management there for actually selling off the non-profitable operations, streamlining it, and doing well in a hugely difficult time.
Next question says your views on Pepkor Holdings.
I looked at the, you know, I must say something as well today, very quickly. Yesterday, Pepkor came out with their results. Mm-hmm. Togo came out with a trading update. Coronation came out with their numbers. Who was the other one? And then the day before was Pioneer Food. Why I mention those four? Because each one of those shares kind of underwhelmed. There was nothing really special. And yet, every one of those shares today gained plus 5%, I think, for whatever reason. I have absolutely no idea. So if anybody knows the reason, I'm hoping Wayne can tell us.
I don't know.
But going back to Pepkor, most of the trading update related to regulatory issues and guarantees, etc. We didn't get a feel for how they're doing on the trading side.
Look, I think this is a good business. I mean, the underlying business, they've got many things tacked down and the puts and the obligations and the shop rights. Yes, but the underlying business has always been there, and it's always been a good, solid business.
I think the trouble is all those other issues that will come out as court cases start taking place, if they ever do.
They can't escape the Steinhoff story. They just can't.
Before we get to your stock picks, a gentleman here wants to know about Gemfields, which is a share we don't usually talk about.
No.
So.
Got up.
I really know very little about them. Gemfields.
Yeah. Okay. So next question says PSG. Your view on that?
Shame, Yanni. He resigned today. Hey? He retired, and it's rather a sad situation because he's a wonderful man who built up this business. Mm. From my point of view, it's really Capitec.
Yeah. And that looks good.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's get to your stock picks. When you went with Naspers?
Yeah, look, I think these tech shares have probably taken enough of a beating. Mm-hmm. It's very dependent on what happens next week with Trump and China. If those trade wars, if that little thing cools down a bit, these shares can go up seriously. If that heats up, the shares are going down. So it is a call on what happens with trade wars. But it's certainly cheaper at 2,700 Rand than it was at 4,100 Rand.
All right. David, your stock pick?
I'm looking at Imperial. I say it's bothering me and it's puzzling me because here's a share that was up at 280 Rand at the beginning of the year. Tomorrow, why I mention it, we see the split into Motors and into the logistic company, which is Imperial. Share's gone from 280 to 140. Can't understand, especially in this month alone, in November or from the beginning, it's gone down from about 190 all the way down. I don't know what's disturbing the market and why. I read reports and analysts believe this should be in the 200 mark or even higher than that. So I don't know whether it's specific to the split, but it does seem to be overdone. And I can't get to the reason why it should have fallen as far as it has. I don't know whether Wayne's...
All right.
Anyway, so I point that out.
Let's leave it there, gentlemen. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks to my guests this evening, David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. We take more of your stock-related questions tomorrow. Have a good evening.